Hello and welcome to Gilmore Ball Z, the podcast where I show my wife Dragon Ball Z, she shows me Gilmore Girls, and we both try to find some kind of common ground. I'm Grant.
I'm Paige.
And this week we have a returning special guest, friend of the show, and perennial guest host from the Dueling Genre Podcast Network, Rachel Gatlin. Say hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Yeah, this is your
fourth time?
I lost count.
You've been with us once every season since the second. So this will be your fifth time with us.
Oh, okay.
On the show, it's you were our first guest host.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
Yeah, you were the first one who was like, "Hey, I want a guest host." And you were like, "We're not sure if guest hosts really fit with our format." And then you came on and it worked. And so now we've had many. So
I was the trendsetter. That's
yes,
cool.
You were on Gilmore Ball Z before it was cool.
Yeah.
Is it cool?
No, we'll never be cool.
Podcasts are never cool.
No. So this week we watched episode 130 of Dragon Ball Z Kai and season 6 episode 9 of Gilmore Girls. So before we get into that too much, Rachel, you're one of our only a handful of regular guests we have that's actually familiar with both shows.
Right.
So I'm curious what is your experience and what are your memories with these particular parts of both series?
It's kind of where I lose interest in both. because Gilmore Girls kind of jumps the shark after this point, and
I can't imagine why.
Oh. Like, there's stuff that happens in this episode that sets up a lot of other things, and it's just like, please stop. And then with Dragon Ball, I was saying before we started recording, I've only really seen the Toonami dub that would air weekday afternoons, and that's way more loaded with content than Kai is. So I felt like there was a lot of episodes, but nothing was actually happening, and the whole fusion nonsense is kind of where I was like, no, I'm out. The tournament has gone on for 3 weeks, nothing's happening, there's a big Kirby monster, I'm done.
Yeah, and even the Kai version of this arc hasn't exactly been the fastest paced.
Yeah.
They generally did, they've been doing a worse job of abridging for Kai ever since the Cell Saga. So honestly, I wonder how much is actually cut from these episodes that were condensed into this episode of Kai that we watched.
Probably a lot, if I had to wager a guess. And on a sadder note, the last time I was on here, I was, you know, hopeful for the next season of Dragon Ball Z Abridged, but that's not happening now.
Nope. So you genuinely could not and never will be able to watch the associated DBZA to go along with these episodes. Yeah, so this is just where you decided you're good on both series.
Well, I mean, I kept watching Gilmore Girls up until the end, and I watched the Netflix revival because apparently I like torturing myself.
We all do.
It's like I'm binging Buffy and Angel right now, and I'm getting into like the middle of season 6, and it's not good. Not as good as it should be. And then 7 was okay, but I don't know.
Yeah, I still hold that the 4th season of Buffy is the worst, though.
Yeah, season 4 is bad.
We watched episode 130 of Dragon Ball Z Kai and season 6, episode 9 of Gilmore Girls. So, Paige and Rachel, what happened this week on Dragon Ball Z Kai?
So, a lot, like, we've said a lot that Gilmore Girls sometimes feels like a collection of scenes. I think that's kind of true of this week's episode of Dragon Ball, so I'll summarize it as best I can. All of the non-essential Z fighters are gathered to wish something out of Shenron, and so the sky goes dark, and the main Z fighters figure out, oh crap, they're raising Shenron, and we haven't told them about any of the things we need from the wishes. So Goku tries to instant transmission, but apparently there's something that goes wrong, like maybe you can't get a signal to instant transmission when the dragon's coming out, I don't know.
It's kind of like when you're trying to visit your friend's island in Animal Crossing and they have their Nook phone open, and there's
when you're trying to like go on the internet but somebody has the microwave on.
Yeah.
But they are able to get out one, or unfortunately, fortunately, they're able to get out one wish that is raise everyone except the really bad people.
That's vague.
Who died today. It's unclear who counts as really bad. Like, does Vegeta still count as really bad? He is going to be obliterated from, you know, his spirit's going to be obliterated, so maybe, but maybe not. We'll see. We get the great line from Mr. Brief. Sweetie, let's get this show on the road. Shenron will have his hands full of what your husband did from Vegeta's father-in-law. Which is great.
I really want, like, the scene of Dr. Brief's just, like, having cigars and whiskey with his, like, old white dude friends talking about, like, all talking shit about Vegeta, like, my no good son-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to
hear
his
my no good son-in-law rant about Vegeta.
I would love to heard his toast at the wedding, because apparently we at least in this translation we get the word husband.
Yeah, that was in the original dub too, but I don't think that exists in the Japanese.
Goku's only able to get there after they make the first wish, so now they have to wait another 4 months to make the other 2 wishes. You can't hold action on Shenron, apparently. Mm. And because he can do 3 wishes once a year, he can do 1 wish every 4 months. So whatever Buu does, they can't wish on the Dragon Balls for another 4 months.
These arbitrary Dragon Ball rules.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a year between uses and you used up a third of its power, it'd be 4 months. Like,
yeah,
it makes a certain sort of
kinda
sense.
From there, they decide to all go to the Watchtower to deal with the fact that that's the safe place when Buu's attacking. Goku delivers the unfortunate news that Vegeta and Gohan are dead, because as far as Goku knows, they're both dead. So Chi-Chi faints, Bulma's freaking out, Videl's freaking out. There's no question of, is my husband one of the really bad people? I think Bulma's just accepted that her husband's one of the really bad people.
Yeah.
And is therefore dead. So they're all going to teleport to the Watchtower to keep themselves safe until the end of this whole Buu saga. Except for Mr. and Mrs. Briefs, who decide to stay on Earth because, you know, they're cats. Multiple, maybe? It's unclear how many cats they have. At least one are on Earth, and you can't bring them to the Watchtower, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Cats aren't
on the Watchtower. Of course. Cats aren't on the Watchtower, except Corrin. So they decide to stay on Earth, because if they die during this whole Buu thing, you can raise us back from the dead anyway.
I gotta say, that's the perfect, like, old retired parent thing.
Mm.
It feels like convincing your parents to not go out to the grocery store because there's a pandemic outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, don't worry about us. It's just like, we're old. We'll just stay here and take care of our animals. And if we die, you can just wish us back with the Dragon Balls. That was just perfect. It was perfect boomer parents.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Supreme Kai and what's his name?
Kibito.
Kibito, yeah, who was raised because he's not one of the really bad people, find each other and find Gohan, and he's not quite dead. So Kibito's about to heal him like a useful person, but the Supreme Kai decides to be, you know, completely on brand and not raise him until they get to the Supreme Kai planet, which even the Grand Kais are not allowed to go on. He teleports himself to this place by saying, Kai Kai. That's a real thing. At the same time, Buu is still going on his massive rampage. He strangles a man in the street. He breaks into a bakery, possibly, and breaks their door, breaks their display, starts eating one cake, a single cake. And then when that's not enough, instead of going for the other cake in the display, for some reason breaks down the back door of the bakery where there is a cake factory happening.
Yeah, there's an assembly line of cakes.
Cake factory.
You know, like how bakeries work.
Yeah,
it's a cake assembly line.
Yeah, like bakeries. They've got that in the back. You just poop out cakes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
One person does each dollop of ice as they go down the assembly line.
Yep.
And so Boo's there eating cake after cake while Babidi's trying to convince him to leave. And at the same time, the bakery girl, who's now my favorite Dragon Ball character, is saying, hey, what are you doing? You better pay for all this. Why are you here? And Babidi's like, you don't understand who I am. I'm a wizard. And she's like, I don't care. Cool, you're a wizard. Great, get out. And Babidi teleports her onto a flagpole.
I have the note here, we stan pastry lady.
Oh, I had the note here, when do we get the pastry lady spinoff?
Yeah.
But that happens, and then Babidi decides to telepathically connect with the entire world to tell him he's coming for them. Did I miss anything, or is that what happened on this week's Dragon Ball Z Kai?
I think he got it.
Yeah, I think that was basically it.
Okay, so what happened this week on Gilmore Girls?
Oh, sweet Jesus. So much happened on this week of Gilmore Girls. Well, for starters...
Woof, indeed.
For starters, this episode of Gilmore Girls opened with Luke ruining some perfectly good risotto. Because through the entire cold open, he's, like, leading Lorelai around the house, and they have this big lengthy banter scene, and at the end he's like, anyway, I got some risotto cooking, so I gotta go. Like, motherfucker, you cannot leave risotto alone for that long. That is ruined.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so there's like a Luke and Lorelai plot that's kind of three separate little plots, but the house that has been being renovated for basically this entire season is now done. Their house is all done and set and ready and expanded for Luke to move in, which I still question why they needed to expand the house for Luke to move in the first place, but whatever. And he shows Lorelai the new bedroom, and it has his grandmother's bedroom set that is just like peak old person bed spread.
Ugh.
Like, super, super overly designed, carved bed frame with cherubs and big swirly thingies and, like, you know, naked titty ladies all over it.
It's somehow worse than it sounds.
Yeah. And, like, a mirror with the same kind of trim decoration, but also the glass is super old and warped, so it's not even useful as a mirror. And a bunch of paintings of sailboats.
It's like the worst beach house I've ever stayed in.
Yeah, right? And, like, well, the bed doesn't even look comfy.
And it looks small. Like, if I had to guess, it's smaller than a queen.
Yeah, it looked more like a double.
Mm-hmm.
Like a full-size bed. Yeah, it was tiny.
Yeah. Like, Luke and Lorelai could fit in that bed, but not with enough space to really spread out. And I imagine both. Luke is just kind of a big dude, so he probably takes up a lot of space in the bed. And also, I'm sure Lorelai likes to just spread way the fuck out. Like, Lorelai is a bed hog.
Also, Lorelai definitely lets the dog on the bed.
Also, oh, Paul Anka's is definitely allowed on the bed. But Luke's, like, super jazzed because apparently 5 years ago, Lorelai saw it in his storage room and said she loved it. And so he's convinced he did this great thing, and she's like, dear God, it's hideous. So she's trying to grapple with what to do about that, and, like, it's hideous and she doesn't like it, but also Luke has been bending over backwards through all of this, where he bought the Twickham house and then he let the Twickham house go and then started to buy it again and then, like, agreed to not buy it again and move in with her because she didn't want to leave her house. And so, like, he's been super, super accommodating through this whole process. And so she doesn't want to take this one thing away from him, but also she hates it and it's not comfortable. So that's, like, lingering for a good chunk of the episode. She has Suki and Jackson over for dinner one night. And while that's happening, she gets a phone call from Christopher, who we have not seen since his big drunken storm out last season, which, Rachel, did you guest for us with that one?
Yep.
I was going to say, I thought that was your episode too.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen Christopher since we've seen Rachel.
I just bring the fun.
Yeah. So it's just Christopher, and it goes to voicemail. So Christopher is leaving a voicemail on the answering machine. He's like, hey, Lorelai, I've got big news. Please call me back. And Luke walks in while Lorelai is screening this call. So she freaks out and just turns off the answering machine. And so what is not made explicit in the script is that Amy Sherman-Palladino is across the street on the second story of the house across the street with a sniper rifle. And she just, bam, assassinates Luke's character. Just right through the window.
Yep.
Because he immediately goes the fuck off.
Yeah.
And is like, was that Christopher? How long have you been talking to him? Were you going to tell about that? Were you hiding something from me? Wait, no, let's not talk about this right now when we've got company over. And...
Yeah.
Like, he just suddenly turns into a fucking asshole.
Yep. It's all downhill from here, kids.
Yeah, so then they have, like, a weird tense dinner that erupts into them yelling at each other, and Luke storms out and everything. And so Lorelai goes to Luke's apartment and goes to him and is like, hey, I'm sorry, you know, that happened. He's like, I'm sorry that. No, he doesn't apologize.
No, not at all.
No, he never apologizes.
He doesn't apologize. You're right. Does she apologize either? Neither of them apologize. I mean, Lorelai shouldn't have to apologize. But, yeah, so she's just like, hey, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. And doesn't apologize, even though he totally should. And he says, like, I'm never going to be okay with having Christopher in your life. And Lorelai's like, Christopher is always going to be in my life, which is bullshit on both counts.
Yeah.
Well, and she specifically follows it up with, he will be in my life because he's Rory's father.
Right. But, like, I want to stop for a second and dig into that interaction. Because both of those lines made me want to throw something through a window.
Mm-hmm.
Because Luke, like, Luke is generally a pretty reasonable guy. And Luke, obviously, he has good reason to not like Christopher, because last time he spoke to Christopher, Christopher was a drunken asshole to him. But Luke also is understanding of the fact that these concessions have to be made. Like, we know Luke has people in his family that he'd rather not associate with, but he has to because they're, you know, part of his life.
Right.
On the flip side, no, Lorelai absolutely fucking doesn't have to keep Christopher in her life.
Yeah, not anymore. Rory's grown up. She's over the age of 18. They don't have to discuss... Well, anyway, we'll get into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, well, and it depends on what degree in her, like, in my life she means. Like, it's one thing to say, do they keep constant contact or even keep up to date with each other, like having calls between the two adults? Or it could also mean, like, Christopher will be at my daughter's wedding and we will probably have to meet with her in the wedding planning process. Christopher will be there, want to be there when my grandchild is born. Like, any of those big milestones in Rory's life where both sets of parents, or, you know, when all parents involved tend to be present. Because in that way, unless he does something to alienate Rory, which is not impossible, obviously, it's very possible that when Rory chooses to have Christopher in her life, it will be when Lorelai chooses to be in Rory's life. So in that way, kind of yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but he's also not in Rory's life.
No, not right now.
Like, Rory is a non... or Christopher is a non-entity in both of their lives. So it's like, whatever. And then they just kind of make up.
Yep.
And Luke's like, no more secrets, okay? And Lorelai's like, we've been through this before. This is like every single argument we ever have as a couple, except she doesn't say that because, yeah, she just says no more secrets. And it's like, cool, we're retreading this ground that, like, was already the whole point of their big breakup arc last season.
Also, we get no resolution on, like, the fact that Christopher was calling to announce something he was really excited about. Will she call him back and find out what it is? What levels of contact are they both comfortable with? I'll never know.
Yeah, I assume that we're going to follow up on that later, but for now, we do not touch it.
Not to go too far into what's going to happen next, but Luke saying no more secrets makes me so irrationally angry, I want to break something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, going into the other half of the Lorelai and Luke plot, right?
Yep.
Shortly after this point, Luke is in the diner. It's a slam day at the diner. He's running around getting everyone's orders filled. And this girl walks in. She's about 12 years old, and she is wearing the most cartoonishly dorky headgear thing ever. It's like a bicycle helmet, but it also has, like, shoulder pads and stuff.
Yeah, it's got, like, a neck brace.
At first, I thought she was, like, in a neck brace.
Yeah.
Which, like, oh, girl in a neck brace. And, like,
I'm sure Gilmore Girls will deal with this thoughtfully.
Yeah, and so, like, okay. So, I didn't have this spoiled for me going in, but I had picked up enough context clues that I knew this was what was going to happen.
Yeah.
This girl comes in and needs to speak to Luke Danes. And he's like, okay, what do you want? And she's like, hey, I need a piece of your hair because I'm doing a science project for the science fair, however many towns over, and My project for the science fair is going to be fun and flashy, and it's going to win for sure because it's going to have a human drama element. I'm going to grab hair from three men and then figure out which one's my father. And Luke's like, what? And she rips a hair out of his head and runs away. And he's like, what the fuck? So later in the episode, he shows up, just wanders into the school science fair, and finds this girl sitting with her big threefold poster board thing with three pictures of three dudes, because she also snapped a photo of them before she ran away. Pictures of three men, and the other two men's faces are crossed out, and there's a big circle around Luke. So,
yay!
This, I'll be so interested to see how this show tackles the differences in how Luke handles parenthood versus how Lorelai handles parenthood. Oh, wait, they fucking did that already. So Luke is the biological father of this precocious, dweeby 12-year-old girl named April. And so she introduces herself, she's like, April Nardini, and he's like, oh, shit, you're Anna's daughter. And she's like, yep. And he's like, oh, I didn't know. Like, he does. I give him credit. Almost the first thing out of his mouth is like, I didn't know. If I knew, I would have been in your life. And she's like, I know. It's cool. So I guess Luke had a one-night stand with this woman.
Well, I mean, it's unclear at this point what his relationship to her was. He remembers her name like 12 years later. So that's all we know so far.
I assume, like, the assumption I put together from context clues here is because he knows her, but there is definitely question over who the father was. So he probably was not in a committed relationship with this woman unless he was and she cheated on him with two other men.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a possibility. Or he was the other man. But that doesn't sound like Luke, but whatever. You know what? Luke got sniped earlier in this episode, so who knows? Anyway, that's a thing now, I guess. So that, like, is one half leading into this final scene. The other half is the Rory plot. Rory randomly decides she's going to get her shit together. Just a light switch turns on in her head, and she decides she's going to do it. So she moves all of her shit out of Emily and Richard's house. There is a trying really hard to be funny, but just obnoxious and pointless scene of Richard interacting with Finn and the other one.
Colin.
So she moves in with Lane, which I said last episode was probably what she was going to do. She moves in with Lane. Zach is still the worst, constantly sniping at Rory for every little thing she does that costs money while living with them. But, like, whatever, Zach's the worst. What else is new? So Rory starts hitting the pavement and calling up places to get job references, sending out resumes, and she's determined to get a job. So she starts showing up and harassing the editor at the Stanford blah blah gazette where where she interned. And the editor there is like, hey, I don't know what happened with you and Mitchum, but just, like, ignore him. He's an idiot. And if, you know, join the club of people who don't get along with Mitchum Huntsberger. You are obviously really good. And, you know, any place would be happy to have you. The only reason I won't hire you myself is we don't have any openings right now. But I'll gladly give you a review or, you know, a reference. And she's like, okay. So she shows up at the newspaper office and just starts harassing this guy of like, give me 10 minutes of your time. Here's my resume. Here's my portfolios. Oh, but we don't have an opening. Give me 10 minutes of your time. But we don't have an opening. I'd have to fire this guy. Give me 10 minutes of your time. And she refuses to leave?
Word of wisdom, young people. This is not how you get a job.
No. No. Well,
Don't do what Rory did.
Don't do what anything Rory does from this season 4 onward. So there's layers. Like, once again, as the great poet Macklemore said, there's layers to this shit player. So one, that's just a bad way to get a job. Because if a place doesn't have openings, they don't have openings. Two, that's a great way to poison your chances of getting jobs in the future. Because you're going to get a
recommendation.
Exactly. Or a recommendation. Like, okay, not going to get you a job now because there isn't one. Not going to get you a job later because now you're the obnoxious girl who wouldn't leave. not going to get you a job now at other places because you just burned a bridge and you're not going to have that extra reference anymore. Not a good idea, period, when you are currently on probation. Maybe don't insist on sticking around a private business after being asked to leave.
She's a small white girl. She's fine.
Yeah.
Still. You're right. Still not a good idea.
Yeah, this was obviously the writers trying to show that Rory is getting out of her shell and going and getting what she wants, but it just was not how jobs actually work.
No.
Yeah.
I can speak from personal experience to tell you this does not work. Like,
yeah.
Don't do this.
So she just, like, keeps hanging around and acting like she works there until he finally gives her 5 minutes of his time. Like, he wears her down.
Or she wears him down.
She wears him down. Sorry, I had the script flipped because the point I was about to make is that it's like every shitty rom-com where the guy just keeps asking the girl out over and over and over again until she eventually gives up.
Yeah, then it's a pity date, and then she's like, she's been gaslit for all this time, and she's like, oh, maybe he's not so bad.
Nope. Yeah.
He's terrible. Run away.
So she gets a job, and so then, like, near the end of the episode, she calls Lorelai. And she's like, Mom, I got a job. I got a job. I talked to the dean at Yale, and I'm going back to classes. I just need a place to live. You know, the job that I got isn't paying me super great, but it's a job. It's something to put on my resume. I can go back to school. I moved out of Grandma's. I'm living at Lane's right now. Can I move in with you? And Lorelai's like, yes, absolutely. Get your stuff here right now. And then it turns out that Rory was, like, on the phone while driving to the house, so she pulls up while they're on the phone, and there's, you know, if the context were different, what would be a very sweet scene of the two of them chucking their phones away and running to each other and hugging, and like, I missed you, I love you so much. They make up, everything's great, things are magically okay now. Sure. So the last episode, or the last scene of the episode, is Luke cleaning up near the end of the day at the diner. There's a couple customers there, but he's just getting ready to close down, and he's obviously got that 1,000-yard stare, like he's still processing everything. And Lorelai busts in like a hurricane, takes a bunch of donuts, orders a bunch of food, and is like, Rory's back, she's got a job, she's going back to school, everything's great, we can get married now. Because she'd said previously she didn't want to set a date until things were okay with Rory. So she's like, we can get married now, we can set a date, everything's cool, this is awesome. And she runs out before Luke can say anything. And he's just kind of left holding the metaphorical bag of like, well, shit, now I have this other big thing happening in my life that might get in the way of getting married. How do I talk to her about this? And I'm sure he will not resort to keeping secrets.
Oh, of course not.
Now, no. Dear listeners, why would he do that? They literally just talked about it in this episode.
Yeah, why would he go back on his ultimatum?
Totally.
Right? Yeah.
So that is what happened on Gilmore Girls. Did I miss anything? Oh, Emily bought a plane.
Well, she attempted to buy a plane.
It was unclear if she was going to buy the plane at the end or not.
Yeah, so she disappeared and didn't contact Richard for a few days, and then Lorelai calls her, and when she goes to find where she is after calling, like, Emily calls back. She's contemplating retail therapying a plane.
Yeah. Actually, one of my favorite Emily moments, because it's just peak crazy Emily, and I love it.
Well, and there was a genuinely good character moment in there where Emily has a little breakdown and is like, you just see me as a thing to be amused, to amuse you. Like, I'm a sort of amusement with my sad little life of tea parties and things. But I want to be more than that. And, like, I lost Rory the same way I lost you. Like, you would have been so proud of the way she talked to me. Like, I was nothing the same way you used to. And Lorelai kind of comforts her, tries to, but also is still mad at her and so isn't quite able to totally commit. And says, like, you didn't lose Rory because she was never supposed to be there in the first place. Like, you were trying to make her into something she's not. She was always supposed to be at school and she was always supposed to be with me, which I feel like those episodes may have been shot in a different order because Lorelai talks about Rory being back at school before she knows Rory's back at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anne talks about her being home before she knows. Now that I'm talking it through, that scene was definitely supposed to be after their big hug.
Yeah.
And they just had to edit it for pacing.
Yeah. Or is she speaking more, like, more metaphorically as opposed to, oh, she's at home now. Like, no, that's what she was supposed to do, and then she got derailed. I don't know.
Maybe. Either way, it wasn't clear.
Right, right, right.
And then as she's leaving, she says, you didn't lose me either. And then leaves. Like, Emily can have a little bit of emotional vulnerability as a treat.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything else?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. What did the two of you think about this week's episode of Dragon Ball Z Kai?
I mean, it's a collection of scenes. Like, it's really hard to have a concrete opinion. Like, Hai's obviously bakery girl was great. I want a whole, like, focused short on Mr. and Mrs. Briefs and their whole perspective on how the world works. Because, honey, your husband just killed a ton of people, you better fix it. Followed by, I'm gonna stay here and possibly die for my cats. Instead of, like, asking if they could come along. Like, that's a whole, like, weird... There's something weird going on there, and I want to know more about it.
Well, have you heard the theory that Mrs. Briefs is a robot?
It's a robot, yeah.
So he has to stay home and, like, fix his sex robot.
Anyway, I have a lot of thoughts on that. But on the other hand, like, I don't really care about what's happening with the Supreme Kai, and he's pausing healing Gohan because of instant, or he wants to take him to the Kai Kai, Supreme Kai planet world that no one's allowed to go on. It's like, great, okay, more Supreme Kai stuff, cool. Meanwhile, we don't see anything that counts as movement towards fusion, so that's happening. And anytime Boo talks, my life is worse, even if I like the idea that he just wants to go steal cakes.
Yeah.
So, like, it's hard to put together, it's not even that I'm split, but it's hard to put together my feelings on a collection of scenes.
Yeah.
That all kind of move stuff forward a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of didn't know what was going on because I haven't watched these episodes in, like, 15 years, but I caught on pretty quickly, and I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I hate Boo. I just... Like, there's great stuff with Vegeta in this season, but I just don't care. I am out of fucks to give, and I'm...
Your field is bare?
Yes. Yes.
Grant, what did you think of this week's Gilmore Girls?
I'm not excited about what's happening with Luke for a number of obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Okay, we're introducing a new kid for Luke.
Yep.
Right? And I see what they're trying to do. Lorelai sort of had parenthood sprung on her after a fashion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think getting pregnant at 16 counts as having parenthood sprung on you.
That's definitely fair.
And she handled it in her own Lorelai way that some people could definitely argue has its issues, but she did pretty damn well for a pregnant 16-year-old, right? And Rory, this weird blip that I know is going to continue, but for now we can treat like a weird blip. Out aside, Rory looks like she's on track to become a functional adult.
Mm-hmm.
And Christopher had very little hand in that process.
Right.
And now we have Luke having parenthood sprung on him. And it seems like this April girl is doing pretty well. She seems like a smart kid. Seems like she goes to a good school. It seems like her mom is taking care of her. So, you know, a single mom seems to be, you know, doing the best she can and is doing really well. And Luke wasn't involved, but Christopher wasn't involved because Christopher is a piece of shit. Whereas Luke wasn't involved because he genuinely did not know that the child existed. And so now how is he going to handle this? Like, there's a tortured attempt at parallelism happening here, which I respect. But I struggle to see what new and interesting stories are going to come out of this that aren't either wildly out of the wheelhouse of what this show is supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Or retreading the Lorelai parents this way, Luke parents this way stuff that we got with Jess.
Yeah.
And I definitely see how Luke, in whatever capacity he's going to be a parent to this child, is going to do it very differently for April than he did for Jess for a number of reasons. But I would be excited about this plot twist if I trusted the writers at this point.
Yeah.
But I don't. I just don't trust the writers of this show anymore. And so what could be, like, this could be interesting, even if it's kind of weird, just becomes, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Just so we get it for the record, first impressions of April as a character.
I mean, I don't know. She seems fine. Like, she's a smart 12-year-old. She's kind of a stock, precocious 12-year-old. She didn't annoy me, but she didn't really stand out either. Whatever. I am open to feeling either way about her as we get more of her. No real strong feelings on her. She's just kind of there. Honestly, I'm more curious to meet her mother.
Yeah.
Because I feel like how her mother answers to why didn't you tell me I had a kid, and how both the idea we get of the person she was when April was born and the person she is now that she's raising a 12-year-old on her own, I think will color a lot of how we feel about April and a lot of how we feel about Luke.
Is it spoilery to say we've kind of already met her? Because the woman who plays Anna played a different role, like, 2 or 3 seasons
ago? Yeah, I mean, yeah, we didn't actually meet her. They did the Gilmore Girls thing where the actress played 2 roles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we met her face, but not the same person.
See, I was worried. I was terrified for a minute there. I was terrified for a minute in the episode that when he asked her mother's name, she was going to say,
Rachel?
Was her name Rachel? Yeah, or am I just thinking of that? 'Cause we're,
No, well, and the timeline is not wrong that, like, 6 years ago in season one, they say that 5 to 6 years ago, Luke had a very serious long-term relationship with a woman named Rachel.
See, I think that would have been more interesting than creating this whole other woman who we've never heard about.
Yeah, who's never been important.
Yeah.
See, but here's the thing. I was terrified it was going to be Rachel, because if it was Rachel, then that would mean that Rachel came back to Stars Hollow, started dating Luke, lived with Luke for a short period of time.
Didn't mention a kid.
And left, and never was like, by the way, we have a kid together.
I mean, they retconned other things, so it wouldn't surprise me that much.
That would be one fat hell of a retcon.
Like, oh, where was the kid all this time? I don't know.
Around.
Around with my mom.
I'm a world-trotting photographer. I left her with my uncle.
So, like, I breathe a sigh of relief just when that wasn't the name that came out of that girl's mouth.
Yeah.
Because, like, I would not, while that would be a dumbass retcon, I would not put it past the show at this point to pull something that stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that was a relief in a weird way, but anyway, yeah. So, that is my jumbled, complicated, massive feelings about that. I know that Luke is going to, like, not talk about it for a while, and we're going to keep reopening this Luke and Lorelai don't consult each other about major life events thing that apparently is the only conflict they know how to write for Luke and Lorelai. I'll admit I'm curious what's going to happen with Christopher and his apparently important news, but, like, not enough to actually care.
Mm-hmm.
The Rory stuff just felt really sudden in this episode.
Yeah.
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 Well, and on one hand, I like the angle they're trying, which is Rory does something mature about it and, like, tries to overcome her difficulty, like, goes to seek help and finds out that maybe Mitchum's opinion isn't the only one she should be listening to, but at the same time, he was right that she needs to be more of a go-getter and incorporates that advice even though she's rejecting his conclusion. I like that as the way she's reacting if it had been set up with more than, like, she's fighting with her grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it just seems kind of random that she's like, well, time to get my shit together, just, like, out of nowhere.
Well, and the weirdest part is that part of what seems to free her up to have the time to go to Yale and to get a job is that she probably finished her community service, but the only thing we hear about that is at the beginning of the episode, she's going to community service. We don't get any sort of last hours, I'm done, or how am I going to juggle Yale and this job and my community service hours? Like, none of those happen.
Just another plot point that gets brushed under the rug.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, whatever. And I don't know. I feel like Rory and Lorelai both get off the hook really easy here. Like, maybe they'll talk about it more in later episodes, but it just kind of seems like, I got a job and I'm going back to Yale. I instantly forgive you. Everything's great.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't trust the show to ever circle back on that, so are we just going to pretend this whole thing never happened?
Yeah.
So that's frustrating, and we already talked about how the whole her camping out at the newspaper office was bad. Zach's the worst. I think those are my thoughts on this episode.
Yeah.
There is no rhyme or reason to them. They're all a jumbled mess. This episode was kind of a jumbled mess.
Even they couldn't keep their order straight, apparently.
Yeah. No, they kind of couldn't.
You know, it was difficult for me to actually pick an episode for this season. I don't remember why I chose this one. Maybe I thought it was something else. Doesn't matter. But this this whole season is such a mess. Like,
I think your reason originally was this is the episode where Lorelai and Rory reunite.
Yeah, which, you know, is great. And I think that's a really touching moment. And it's sweet. The show could have ended right there. But no, it keeps on going.
Yeah.
It keeps on going. And, like, yeah.
Yeah, it could have. That actually would have been a good last scene. Like, yeah. Rory, once and for all, chooses her own path instead of becoming like her grandparents.
Yeah. I feel like if things were rearranged, that could have been a great season finale. Like,
that would be, that'd be a series finale. That's it. Like, that's the happy ending we want.
Yeah. Except the whole nonsense with April. And it's not April's fault, but I kind of hate her. And that will become more apparent later. She's just used as this plot device. That it's not fair to her. It's not fair to anyone else. I won't get into it because it's going to go into further episodes. But yeah, she annoys me. But it's not her fault.
I can see that.
It's not her fault. She's adorable. I was just like her when I was 12. But it's not her fault.
I think you pretty much nailed it. I didn't even think about it, but you're right. That last scene of the two of them on the lawn could have been a way to end the show.
Yeah.
And it would have worked, and I would have been okay with it. But it does feel like this is the end, but here's this new epilogue story where Luke has a kid. Like, it feels like now we're in the shitty revival.
Yeah, and I'm just remembering how this season actually ends, and I'm even more angry because it should have ended here.
We're not even halfway through the season. Yeah. Oh, man. Now I'm scared.
Yeah.
So,
buckle
Paige,
up.
I know. Paige, what questions do you have for me about Dragon Ball?
So, was the reason that Goku couldn't figure out where their energy was because Shenron was blipping in? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I think that was just to pad out a little time and stretch out a little drama.
Yeah, that was stupid. And to make sure they get the wish in.
And basically to make sure they have enough time to get the wish in. Because, okay, Goku could pinpoint new Namek out in fucking space, right? He can warp to King Kai's planet. He can warp to King Kai's planet from Earth. And
but
then
can't
from,
even recognize his wife's signature.
And he can't recognize his wife's energy signature on the same planet as him.
Yep.
Like, I get Chi-Chi probably has a pretty low power level. So
his wife,
it,
his best friend.
Yeah.
Or some of his best friends, his old teacher.
Yeah, like Roshi's. Yeah, Roshi's there. Yamcha's there. Bulma's
there. Half the people who matter most to him in his life.
Right, they're all there. Videl's probably got a pretty high power level at this point, too. Like, there are people there that he could. Fuck. Or no, he can't latch onto Android 18 because you can't sense an Android's power. So 18, he's got an excuse. But everybody else. Also, I'm just gonna go out on a limb here. I'm guessing there's a pretty big energy spike when the fucking dragon gets summoned.
Yeah, that was my assumption. Like, he's just getting interference from dragon.
Maybe. That's the best I can come up with, but they did not make that explicit.
Why can't you ask Shenron to wait around? Like, wait 5 minutes, Shenron, we'll have more wishes for you.
Well, I think the idea wasn't that, like, they were brainstorming wishes right now. It was just like, wait, shit, don't waste the Dragon Balls. We might need them when this is all over.
Right.
So it was like, okay, you already used a wish. We'll at least make this so that we don't have to wait as long to use them again. So, like, when this is all over and a couple of us are inevitably dead, we can use the Dragon Balls sooner to wish everybody back.
Right, okay. How many pets do the briefs have? Is it one black cat or a ton of identical black cats?
I think they had, well, he didn't say specifically cats. He said animals.
Yeah, they're babies.
Yeah, and they're their babies. So I think it's just that they have a bunch of pets.
Okay.
But that one cat in particular is just like his shoulder cat.
Why not heal Gohan before you take him to the Supreme Kai planet? And why waste time taking him to the Supreme Kai planet?
Because, this actually makes sense, if you heal Gohan now, then his energy spikes back up. Everybody knows Gohan's alive before he spirits away. This way, they can sneak Gohan away, basically fake Gohan's death, do whatever they're going to do with him on the Kai planet that's going to make him stronger, so then they'll have the element of surprise when he comes back and is like, guess what, bitches, I'm Gohan.
Fair. Okay. What questions do you have about Gilmore Girls?
Well, I have a question about Dragon Ball, actually.
Okay.
Actually, first, Rachel, do you have any questions about Dragon Ball?
I do, but I think it's going to get into spoilery territory because I don't remember what happens after this point.
I appreciate that.
Okay, we can hold off then.
Okay.
So my one question about Dragon Ball, though, we went back and re-listened to it. The exact wish is bring back everybody who died today except the really bad ones. Right?
Right.
So it's going to bring back all the bystanders. It's going to bring back all the people at the amusement park that Boo killed and, like, that guy he strangled in the street and all that stuff.
Depending on timing.
Right? And then they're told, immediately after making that wish, they're told, hey, Vegeta and Gohan are dead.
Right.
Now, Vegeta, he murdered a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Right? Piccolo explicitly told him, hey, you're so bad that you're not going to get to keep your body in the other world. You're just going to be refined down into soul stuff and reincarnated because you suck.
Right.
So it makes sense that Bulma would still freak out at the notion of Vegeta being dead, because if he's dead, he did bad things. The Dragon Balls didn't bring him back. Also, I believe Earth's Dragon Balls had brought him back once already because it was the Earth Wish that brought him back on Namek.
Yes, so, right. Yeah, you're correct.
It makes sense. Yeah. So it makes sense that Bulma's freaking out about Vegeta for a number of reasons. He's dead and he probably is never coming back as far as she's concerned.
But Gohan.
Now, we know Gohan's not really dead. So, of course, the wish can't bring him back if he's not dead. But Chi-Chi and Videl both freak out about Gohan being dead, and neither of them say, wait a minute, we literally just wished back everybody who died today, shouldn't he be back?
Yeah, I
would say, for one thing, Videl is very new to this. She doesn't know how Dragon Balls work. She was kind of shocked by seeing the dragon. She doesn't necessarily have all the context that Chi-Chi has.
Okay, Videl not thinking of it makes sense.
Chi-Chi, on the other hand, though, I would say I'm gonna give her a pass too, because yes, that was the wording of the wish, but it was made very quickly, and it was Yamcha kind of bursting in and, like, giving his version of the wish, and Shenron going, okie doodle. They didn't really get a chance to process what he said or what it means. And then Chi-Chi's told that her son is dead, and she, like, she can't process that. She faints immediately. So for one thing, she's fainted. But even after she wakes up, she's still processing the words, my son is dead. She might not necessarily have the bandwidth in her brain to go, oh, wait, he's actually alive because we made this wish on the Dragon Balls and this would cover him. He's fine.
I wonder if something got a little lost in translation. Maybe in the Japanese it's a little more clear. And in English, they were like, we don't have a direct translation, so bring back everybody that died. I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, but even, you know, regardless, she's traumatized, so I'm going to give her a pass.
Okay.
Right, but everybody, like, I feel like Yamcha or 18 or somebody else who was there would have a clearer head.
Maybe.
Somebody should mention this.
Say something.
Somebody, I hope that maybe in a later episode, somebody speaks up and says, yeah, hey, wait a minute, Gohan might still be alive.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they address that at some point.
Yeah, that would be good.
In terms of questions about Gilmore Girls, Zach mentions a guy named Don who came to crash with them for a week and hasn't left yet.
Yeah,
or I don't think he specifically said he hadn't left yet, but he basically said, you know how that turned out?
I believe his exact words were, he is still here.
Okay. Then maybe, yeah, I have no idea who Don is.
What the fuck? Like, that didn't make any sense.
He hasn't been mentioned up to this point.
Also, how did Luke walk into a random science fair with nobody asking any questions?
I guess.
I mean, it's a local science fair.
Yeah.
If somebody had walked into my local science fair as a middle schooler, no one, like, somebody would have assumed he was an uncle.
Yeah, they'd probably thought, oh, yeah, he's with one of the kids. It is a little weird that he just walks in and, like, no one questions it, but I think, I don't know. Maybe science fairs are open to the public. I don't know. Maybe
they are. At least when I was in middle school, which was even before this, this would be a couple years later. When I was in middle school and junior high, they were completely open. It was in the place where our town held all of its big events, like the prom, the Kiwanis crab dinner. It might not have been the Kiwanis, but the science fair, they were all held at the same location, and it was pretty much open to people.
I remember I was only in one science fair, and it was in middle school, and I feel like we had to say who was coming.
Oh, we definitely did not.
Then again,
yeah, see, that was more my experience,
yeah,
too.
But then again, like, I went to a really small religious school, so I'm probably like, oh, write down your parents' names.
I went to a small non-religious school, so we figured it was a small town and not a big deal, and there were enough people who were related to enough other people that, you know, it might have been somebody's uncle. Mm.
I went to a medium-sized public school in a suburb where everyone was convinced there were child molesters lurking on every street corner. So you'd best damn believe Luke would not have been able to just fucking walk into that science fair.
Yeah, and then when I was in high school, it was right after 9/11. So we had to, like, write down if there was a science fair or, like, anything. We had to, like, say, this is my father, this is my mother. They were the ones who were coming.
See, mine was, like, all post 9/11. But it was a small town, and I'm guessing that Woodbury is probably a small town close to, like, you know, not too dissimilar from Stars Hollow, which is not too dissimilar in size from my hometown.
Yeah.
And they would have just let you walk in. They absolutely would have. I don't know about now, but even then, you know, they figured it was an open space, there were lots of adults walking around, kids had their parents watching them, so everything, like, kids in my science fair at least generally didn't stand by their posters. No one was really that worried because they assumed you were all watching your own kid.
Also, I'm sure it was done for plot, but why isn't April's mom at the science fair?
That's a big question.
Yeah, that's a better question.
Like, why is she alone? Maybe she was going to come later, because usually science fairs run from, like, 3 to 7 or whatever. So maybe she was, like, closing up at work and then was going to come later, but still. It's a little strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
What other questions do you have?
Those are all the questions I have.
Oh, I have a couple.
Okay, go for it.
One, I do, like, I know we said it, but I still have questions on the fact that Anna basically overlaps with Rachel.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've seen some timelines that say they don't interact, and they were a couple years different, but if it's my memory's right, you know, she was 5 or 6 years ago, 6 years ago. So that's 12 years. But whatever.
Whatever.
Maybe
who gives a
he
shit?
He broke up, like, with Rachel and felt terrible and had a one-night stand with April's mom. Sure.
That's why I think his relationship with Anna probably wasn't that serious. Like, it was just kind of a casual thing. Because,
I mean, if there are two other guys that could be the father, then I'm assuming it was a more casual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. My other question is, why are Colin and Finn moving her and not Brian and Zach?
Because Zach is the worst.
Yeah,
next Zach question.
Sucks. Why isn't Logan Fair. Helping? Where's Logan?
Why isn't Logan helping? Obviously,
because Logan is
get
also somehow also episode, the worst. But, next question.
But so are Colin and Finn. Like, why would Colin and Finn offer to help?
Colin and Finn are better than Logan.
Yeah.
Fair.
Like, I'm just going to put it out there. Colin and Finn are not great people, but they
no,
are better
people
than Logan.
That's not a hard comparison.
I just want to say how much I hate Boo as a character. He's like, what if baby, but evil? And what if Kirby,
yep,
but evil? I don't understand.
What if Elmo, but evil?
Yeah, we've been calling him Homicidal Elmo.
To go from a dynamic villain like Cell And then you've got this, like, wizard, and then there's this other guy, and then this pink blobby thing. It's like, what? What drugs was Toriyama doing when he came up with this? I'm sorry. I hate it so much.
Who do we want to swap this week?
So I've got a swap that, for once, is a business pragmatic swap.
Okay.
I want to swap Pastry Girl and the editor-in-chief of the Stanford Eagle Gazette.
Okay.
because I feel like both of their business strategies would work better. Look, if he keeps kicking Boo out and having Boo come back in the next day, that's going to prevent them moving on for another, like, 4 months so they'll get the dragon wishes again. His stalling technique is way more useful here. Meanwhile, Pastry Girl's blunt upfront approach would be like, we can't hire you. You cost too much money. I don't care how much you cost. Go away. I'm going to call security. Because Pastry Girl would call security.
For sure.
And both of them would deal with each other's problems. And they're, you know, on one side, the Stanford Eagle Gazette's budget would be more balanced. And on the other hand, the bakery, sure, might still get destroyed, but probably less. And they would just, like, lose a lot of cakes, but there would be less bloodshed. So both sides would have a lower price to pay.
I want
to
swap Emily and Bulma.
Uh-huh.
Because Emily, I feel like, well, really, Emily on the Watchtower, not a whole lot would necessarily change, right?
Oh no, that place would be pristinely decorated.
Yeah, like she would just immediately set to work getting it all together and just processing her emotions through fussing, and it would be spick and span, and it would be the cleanest it's ever been.
But Popo might murder her.
Oh, she would definitely say something. She'd be racist to Popo. Let's be real. But what else is new? But on the flip side, I feel like Bulma processing the grief both over what her husband became and then he died. She would buy that plane. She'd buy the entire fleet of planes. She'd buy the newspaper. Like, she'd buy out Mitchum Huntsberger's newspaper empire just because he dared to say something about her granddaughter. Then Mitchum Huntsberger would, you know, die penniless in a ditch, and so would Logan, and that's always a plus. Turned it about Logan, even if it wasn't in the episode. Ka-chow.
Take that, Logan.
And can we all be very grateful for a moment that this entire episode had zero Logan Huntsberger? And I know it's because Matt Zuckery was obviously busy with something. Maybe he was getting tased by Scarlett Johansson, but...
Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yeah, the C is silent.
Oh. I was always saying, like, church key or something. Like, I couldn't even wrap my head around how you pronounce that.
We had to look it up. Google.
Okay. Good to know.
But yeah, maybe he was busy getting tased in the balls by Scarlett Johansson this week.
Yeah.
Depends on when exactly that movie filmed. Probably filmed between seasons.
Probably.
Rachel, who do you want to swap?
I got nothing. I just thought how funny it would be, though, if Paul Anka was up on the lookout.
Okay.
Because everyone would be like, oh, look, it's a dog.
Oh, we could swap Paul Anka and Oolong.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think a laugh line that was underrated in this episode is when somebody talks about bringing home the bacon.
Yeah, yeah.
And Oolong gets deeply offended at the pork humor.
Well, and I think that would work on another level because Oolong, I mean, not just physically, but also metaphorically, is kind of a pig. And so he would enjoy, like, having Lorelai Gilmore cater to his every whim, and he'd make up new neuroses so she'd have to take care of him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he'd totally make it a weird sex thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And meanwhile, like, Goten and Trunks get to play with a dog.
Yay, puppy!
Somebody,
and Dende gets to play with a dog. Just because you're the, you know, new Kami of Earth doesn't mean that you don't need to be a kid every once in a while.
Yeah, I feel like Dende really needs to play with a dog. He's seen
like,
some
really,
shit.
It's a pity that the Briefs didn't bring their animals to the Watchtower just so Dende could play with a cat.
Yeah, like, I would love to see the, like, Noah's Ark version of the Watchtower that was just a zoo. Because I'm sure they have exotic animals. It's probably fucking Tiger King as soon as you walk through the doors of the Briefs compound.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, that Top Chef, like, contestant whose mom had a chimp sanctuary where someone got their finger bit off.
Yeah.
Mm.
But also, you can't bring cats on the watchtower because as soon as you set down a water glass, they'll push it off the watchtower, and then you just got glasses reaching terminal velocity hurtling toward Earth.
And Corrin is clearly a one-household cat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he can't have other cats around.
He'd start spraying everywhere. It would ruin the senzu bean crop for the year.
Like, he's sentient, but he's still a cat. I don't know. When I was thinking about this, I was trying to swap two characters that had, like, nothing to do in these episodes, and I think Paulinka and Oolong make the most sense.
Totally.
There was a funny Yamcha moment that kind of slipped by me, and then I had to roll back. As soon as Bulma finds out that, like, Vegeta's just dead, Yamcha says, we'll be here to support you, and I'm like, sure, Yamcha, you'll support her, all right.
Yeah, like, he immediately steps forward and, like, puts his hands on her and is like, don't worry, Bulma, we'll be here for you. It's like, yes, my shot, Yamcha's back.
Although he's done this, like, several times before. It's like, oh, Vegeta's out of the picture, I'm gonna swoop in, and then it's disappointing for
but this time
Yamcha.
He's gone for good, so Yamcha can wear her down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he thinks, oh, now's my shot, he's dead.
Oh, man, I would love to see Trunks dealing with anybody, but especially Yamcha being his new stepdad.
Oh, God.
could you imagine trying to be Trunks' stepfather?
I mean, it depends on which Trunks. Future Trunks is a well-behaved...
Well, he's a good boy.
He's a good boy. He's the best boy. But
Prime Trunks is not.
No, he's a little shithead.
He's a little shithead. He would just walk up, you'd be like, hey, Trunks, so, you know, you should know that I've kind of been spending a lot of time with your mom lately, and so you're going to be seeing a lot more of me. And then he would just punch you in the nuts and walk out of the room.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't even look up from drinking his soda. He'd just, like, punch you right in the junk and leave.
Yeah, because not only do you have a half-Saiyan stepchild, he's Vegeta's son. Like, he's stronger than 10 of you combined, Yamcha.
Oh, man, I really want to see that now.
Me too. Someone write that fanfic, and
I'm sure someone has.
Yes.
Oh, no, there's your swap, April and Trunks. could you imagine Luke trying to deal with Trunks?
Oh, no.
Oh, then it really would just be a retread of the Jess plot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And getting back on April real quick, like, part of the reason why, I've already said she's kind of a plot device and it's not her fault, but it's kind of like, oh, Rory's all grown up now. We need another cute child to inject life back into this show. It's that classic Cousin Oliver thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I shouldn't be too mean to him. We actually talked to him on TMNT Minute. He was a great guy. But, because he...
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault. He played, he was the voice of Michelangelo in the movie. Oh. But anyway, yeah, it's like, oh, we're going to add this new twist to make it more interesting. I feel like you can just delete her out of this show and it would still be just as good.
Totally.
Not her fault, but I still hate her.
Well, before we play it out, Rachel, do you have any other thoughts on either of these episodes that went unexpressed?
It bothers me how angry Luke got that Christopher was calling. Like,
yeah,
people can call and it, just check in and say, like, look, I was a shithead and I wanted to apologize and let's set things right.
I mean, it is weird because I don't remember Christopher saying anything like, I was a shithead.
No.
He was just like, I have exciting news, but it's just like, maybe you should acknowledge that first.
Christopher was definitely trying to pretend like nothing happened.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also, Luke getting angry that Christopher's calling, okay, it's, you know, it's kind of not his place to be angry at Christopher, but I understand his last interaction with Christopher was not exactly a good one.
Right.
But, the fact that he immediately jumps to, you've been talking to Christopher behind my back. immediately. With no other evidence, nothing else, he immediately jumps to that.
Yeah.
Was so bad.
It just, it bothers me that he gets so angry, and there's stuff that happens later that Lorelai should absolutely be furious about, but, like, she has no leg... she feels like she has no leg to stand on. If it were me, I would throw this right back at him and say, like, look, you were angry about this, and I should be angry about this. But... sorry, I'm ranting now.
That's fair. Like, honestly, yeah. Rachel, thank you for showing up yet again, becoming a perennial favorite on this show.
I'm always glad to be here and talk about my disgust for both of these shows from this point forward.
Well, we can have you on one more time to talk about how your disgust for something happening in season 7.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. If our listeners love hearing from you and have not checked out your other stuff yet at this point, where can they find more of you?
Well, you can find me at TMNT Minute, where we discussed the first and second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies. We're in the process of working on season 3 and a little fun side project that I can't talk about yet. I'm also a cast member of Geek by Night, and you can find both of those shows at duelinggenre.com.
Awesome. And you all know where to find us. Our Facebook is Gilmore Ball Z. Our Twitter is at Gilmore Ball Z. Our email is GilmoreBallZ@gmail.com. And our WordPress is GilmoreBallZ.wordpress.com. Feel free to drop us a rating or review or whatever on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Facebook, on wherever it is you get your podcasts. Please let us know what you think. So with that, thank you for listening, and we will see you next Saturday.
So, when will Pastry Girl be added to Dragon Ball FighterZ? Will Paul Anka ever catch that ball? And who would Yamcha hit on first, Lorelai or Rory? Find out next time on Gilmore Ball Z.